So we're going to read from 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, and from verse 6. Sowing generously is the title there. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have been proved, which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Wonderful, wasn't it? And then on Matthew, we're going back to the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll be reading from chapter 6, and the first few verses. The words of the Lord Jesus. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your Father, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Wonderful words, aren't they, the Lord Jesus? And this obviously follows on from last Sunday, when I was talking about eye for eye and love your enemies, we have to come with a right heart, and that leads on then, doesn't it? Because we should have a servant spirit. And then this passage follows on, and it's very apt, isn't it? Because those who have a right heart will also have a giving spirit within them, won't they? So this next section on the Sermon on the Mount is also vital for the Christian. Why? Well, why would the Lord Jesus mention it? because so often Christians can again sweep over this subject without really much of a thought of it, but it's a very vital thing to look at, and it must be addressed. Well, you see the title there, can't you? Giving to the Needy. This title, Give to the Needy, well, it goes much deeper than that for the Christian. It goes much deeper than that. Why? Well, it's the manner of giving, isn't it? It's the manner of giving that is important to the Christian. So, let's look at what the Lord Jesus is telling us here. In verse 1, be careful, do not do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Notice those first words, be careful, the Lord Jesus says, doesn't he? He says, be careful. Remember old John Marshall, he used to say that. You must be very careful. And he emphasised that word, be careful. Well, for what? And the Lord Jesus is clearly saying in this passage, what are we got to be careful from? We've got to be careful from ourselves, haven't we? From pride, from self. Verse 1 and 2 says it there. That's the attitude of man, isn't it? I did it my way, as I said before. The national anthem of hell, that is, isn't it? I did it my way. My way. Well, look at me. Look what I've earned. Look what I can give. I've worked hard for this. This is what I've earned. It's my labours. Look at me, isn't it? It's self. It's pride. And what the world does? The world looks on and says, oh, look, isn't he lovely? Isn't he lovely giving all his gifts? He's worked hard for them. Oh, give him a pat on the back. Isn't it? It's that sort of attitude, isn't it? It's that sort of attitude. Well, the Lord Jesus addresses that, doesn't he, in Mark. Let's turn to Mark. And chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 44. It's the widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place, 41 we're going from. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. Well, they clearly, you know, it was seen, wasn't it? Chucking in large amounts. But the poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Isn't it? It's the manner of giving. It's in your heart. It's plain as day, isn't it? Give with the right heart. That's what the Lord Jesus is telling us, isn't he? One thing, again, we should note about this passage is we should notice that the Lord assumes, doesn't he, that all who call themselves his disciples will give. Isn't he? If you notice from the passage, he is just saying about one thing. He assumes as a matter of course that they will think it a solemn duty to give, isn't it? As a Christian, as a disciple, according to their means, to relieve the needs of others. Needs, obviously not wants. There's a big difference. There's a big difference, isn't it? The only point he raises here is out of this section is the duty of how it should be done, isn't it? How it should be done. And this should be a very strong lesson to us, shouldn't it, folks? A really strong lesson. The question you have to ask yourself this morning is, do I give? I mean, do I really give? Do I give a tenth of what I earn to the Lord's work? Even non-Christians give, don't they, folks? Even non-Christians give. I remember a story of two pastors. You've heard this one before. Two pastors are talking to each other and one is in despair. Oh, my congregation, they just don't give, you know. Probably only about 60% of them give. And the other pastor said, well, my congregation give 100%. 100%? What do you mean 100%? He said, yes, well, you know, there's the faithful half that give 50% and then the Lord takes the tithe from the other 50%. This is very true, isn't it? But it's sad. Isn't it sad that people don't give as they should? Their hearts. And these words from the Lord, well, they condemn selfish stinginess, don't they? In giving in the matter of money. Perfect example. We're coming to that time of the year, aren't we, where Charles Dickens wrote his book, Ebenezer Scrooge. Yes, he was a miser, wasn't he? He was a miser. I remember the Muppets made it into the Christmas Carol, didn't they? And what was the rhyme? There goes Mr. Humbug, there goes Mr. Grimm. If they gave a prize for being mean, the winner would be him. Is that you? Is that you? It's funny, isn't it? But it's so true. We can be selfish, can't we? We can keep things to ourselves. no coal for the fire for his workers for the winter, even though it was freezing, you know, snow on the ground. Is that you? I hope not. Well, I know, obviously, in regards to heating bills these days, they can be quite extortionate. So I come in from work and normally the thermostats turn right down. Turn it up. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a giving spirit. You know, it's the case of, oh, they'll manage. Someone else will help. Someone else will help them. Can I really give them that? Oh, you know, I was saving up for a new car. You know? Saving up for a new car. Brand new car. We live in such a materialistic age, don't we, folks? We really do. Well, you can get most things very easily, can't you? You can literally get anything you want. There are loans on tap today, aren't there? Loans on tap. That's not a good thing, is it? Well, you want a new car? Oh, you want a new sofa? Oh, don't worry. 3 years free interest. You can have it now, you can pay it later. What they don't, you know, tell you is in the small print, you know, after that 3 years it's 55% APR or something like that. Something extortionate. But it's that, isn't it? You can have everything you want now. You don't have to wait. Credit cards. You can go out shopping. Buy now, pay later. Shopping spree. Yeah. Don't worry, we've upped your limit. You can spend more now. Yeah. Money, isn't it? Money. People in the world, they rub their hands together, don't they? Yippee, I can get that watch that I always wanted. I don't have to save. Young people aren't taught the value of money these days, are they? They're just not taught the value of money. They think money grows on trees. Well, we live in such a materialistic age that is the case. They're not taught to save, to put aside, are they, really? It's that I want it now attitude. I was guilty of that when I was young. When I was 21, it was the Sierra Cosworth. Oh, fantastic car. Loved it. It was the rally road going version, it was, you know. Turbocharged, rear-wheel drive, sapphire blue, lovely colour. Oh, I wanted that car. That fantastic wastegate flutter, if you know what I'm talking about. But, lovely. But got into debt because of it. And regretted it, because paid it for years, you know. And yet, if I'd have saved a little bit longer, I didn't have to be in that debt, isn't it? But it's, what is it? What is it? What does it boil down to? It's greed, isn't it? It's greed. Lottery. Oh, if you pick your numbers, you can win the lottery. You can have anything you ever wanted. Anything you ever wanted. Oh, I could have anything. Money. It's all about money, isn't it, today? It really is. You should see the Christmas list of some children today. Yes. Well, I've had a look at some of children's Christmas lists, and I'm thinking, dear me, I'm going to be able to afford all that. but it's so true, isn't it? This, oh, I want that, I want that. It's not the right attitude, is it? When I was, I think it was about 11 or 12, I didn't particularly want anything for Christmas. So isn't it lovely to have that? You know, you've got everything. You don't particularly want anything. But I was blessed with this wonderful bike, this green bike. I wasn't expecting it, but I loved it. Loved it. It was a wonderful gift because I wasn't expecting it. It was wonderful. But now, oh, 10-year-olds, well, I want a laptop. You know, hundreds of pounds. You know, nothing. The value of money today has just gone out the window, hasn't it? iPads, you know, children with iPads, children with mobile phones. You're 10 years old, what do you need a phone for? It's ridiculous, isn't it? I want to play games, you know. But, isn't it? It's materialistic. Oh, but mummy so-and-so's got one. Mummy, please. And of course, the parents give in, don't they? They give in. There was a chap who I grew up with, and he was terrible I mean, he got loans, he got credit cards, he got store cards. He was in so much debt. But his parents always bailed him out. Always. You know? And he just kept on doing it and kept on doing it. He was actually probably the most selfish person I knew. Because it was all about him. I want that. I want that. I don't have to wait for that. Don't worry, mummy and daddy will come in and save me. That's the attitude, isn't it? It really is. Do you know, I can remember one day we were around there and his girlfriend at the time offered us a packet, you know, a packet of crisps. And he said, no, not those. They're my favourite for work. You know, when you know, you're not offering crisps, you know something is seriously wrong with your heart, you know, and your spiritual state. I know it's funny, but it's so true. It really is. And you know what, folks? He still hasn't changed. He's still exactly the same. Now, going back to the Christian view then, folks, how many of us are rich towards ourselves but poor towards God? That's a very good question, isn't it? You know, you get these TV evangelists on television, don't you? And they're, give, give, give! And yet, you look at their lives, you look at the places where they live, they do far from give. Roman Catholic Church is guilty of that, isn't it? Really is. Dupes people, doesn't it? Into wrongful giving. And there are so many things in this world that, you know, that happen, that, you know, you could be duped by this, you could be duped by that. Give, give. You know, poor, nice people could be duped into the wrong thing. Back to Christians then. How many are rich towards themselves poor towards God? How many never give money to help for the bodies and the souls of men? Because there are so many needy, aren't there? There really are needy people in this world. Well, let's turn to that passage again in Corinthians. And what does the Apostle Paul say? In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Well, you're going to get what you're going to get. Give what, you're going to get what you give, basically, aren't you? You're going to get what you give. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is a great lesson for us, isn't it, folks? If we don't give much, then we won't receive much. It really is a good lesson. George Muller. Now, there was a wonderful man. He was a wonderful man of prayer, wasn't he? I mean, you know, you remember his story. He gave his life, didn't he, to helping children. And I've written down some notes here. He cared for 10,024 children in his lifetime. Isn't that amazing? 10,024 children. He established 117 schools. 117 schools, which offered education to over 120,000 children, most of which were orphans. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's wonderful. Now, of course, he had God in mind, didn't he? You know, everything was from God. Everything. And he had a giving spirit. And he actually prayed in, right, listen to this figure. This figure is amazing. 1,381,171 in his lifetime. And of course, now, that's modern day money, that's £90 million that was, you know, the Lord gifted him, that he prayed in. And that's wonderful, isn't it? And at the time of his death, he had distributed 285,407 Bibles and 1 million, or nearly 500,000 New Testaments. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's a giving spirit, folks, isn't it? That is a giving spirit. That should be on our hearts this morning. That's selflessness. It really is, isn't it? That's giving to the work of the Lord. It's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. Well, if we could be half the men that George Muller was, we could be half the men. Well, verse 7, there it is. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. The Lord places it on our hearts, doesn't he? Doesn't he place it on our hearts? If we have this servant spirit, he'll place it on our hearts to give. And the Lord uses those people, such as he did George Muller, you know. And then comes the title of the sermon, Because the Lord Loves a Cheerful Giver. You know, we should give cheerfully, shouldn't we, folks? Because it's in our hearts to do it. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. Oh, do I really have to do this? It's done because you want to. Because the Lord has laid it on your heart. For God loves a cheerful giver. He loves you this morning if you're cheerful in him and you give in him. It's wonderful, isn't it? Oh. We should want to give as Christians, shouldn't we? We should want to help his work, shouldn't we, here on earth? We should want to help his work. It should be in our hearts to do this. And in our hearts to do his will. And in turn, others will be blessed, won't they? Others will be blessed. But remember those words in Matthew. And verse 3. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, I've missed a bit. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. You know what the world does, doesn't it? Look at me, I'm just about to put this huge amount of money in. You know, it's not the attitude to have, is it? It should be done in secret, shouldn't it be? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Do it quietly, folks. Why? Well, the Lord knows everything, doesn't he? He knows you're going to give. He knows these things. You don't have to let other people know. And he will bless you for your giving. He really will. He will bless you. And dear friends, he will reward you. Well, how do we know that? Well, it's Luke 6. And verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be given. Will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's the Lord Jesus, I love those words, running over. His blessings will be running over to you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Another famous scripture is 1 Samuel 2. And verse 30. Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, those who honour me, I will honour. You hear that, folks? Those who honour him, he will honour. That's wonderful, isn't it? Those wonderful words. Is it in your heart to honour him this morning? Is it in your heart? It should be. Why? Well, it leads to the final point. And that is this. A giving saviour has giving disciples. A giving saviour has giving disciples. Christ gave everything for us, didn't he? Everything. Those wonderful words of that hymn. I searched for it, we couldn't sing it because it's not in the new one. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He paid it all for us. It's wonderful, isn't it? We owe him everything. Everything. Is that not the greatest love? Christ was the chief of givers. And he gave his life for the sin of the world, didn't he, folks? Gave his life for the sin of the world. For my sin. For your sin. For everyone's sin. Isn't that not the greatest gift of love? greatest gift. What did God the Father do? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's wonderful, isn't it? He is the chief giver, folks, isn't he? John 15. John 15. And verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other, folks. It's a wonderful gift, isn't it? Oh, our Lord Jesus is wonderful. You know, the children have got this film, Planes 2, it's called. Fire and Rescue. It's about Dusty, crop hopper. He's a field duster, you know, one of these planes that dust the crops, and he wants to become a firefighter. One day they get caught in a fire, and this other helicopter is called Blade, and he comes in, and Dusty can't fly out, and there's a mine, and so they shelter in the mine, and of course Blade comes and he shields the fire. And that's a picture, isn't it, of what Christ has done for us. He has shielded us from the fires of hell. He's gone into hell for us. And he's shielded us forever, if we're in him. Are you in him this morning? He shielded from the fire. Christ did that, didn't he? So, dear friends, do you have a giving spirit within you this morning? You have a giving spirit. Search your heart. Search your heart. Because to have a giving spirit is wonderful. You know, it's from God, isn't it? A God, giving spirit. We can't compare to Christ, can we? We can't compare to him, but we can strive to be like him, can't we? We can. So, don't be a spiritual Scrooge this morning. Don't be a spiritual Scrooge. Be a cheerful giver. And we should want to give, shouldn't we? We should want to give to him, to his work, to Christ, and we should also want to be near him. So we need to be near the cross, don't we, folks? Near the cross always. Amen. Let's sing that very hymn, shall we? 732. Jesus, keep me near the cross.